Okay, welcome back. First, I'll give a quick recap of last time. This is part two of wearing yarmulkes in the workforce. So last time we said that there's a discussion in the Rishonim whether having a head covering for men is an obligation or simply a midas chasidus, a good thing to do, but not an obligation. Nowadays, there is consensus among the poskim, certainly among the Achronim and the Achronim of our days, that there's an absolute obligation in general to wear a head covering. Now, certainly that is the case when davening, saying brachos, going into shul, etc., etc. But they also agree that even typically, even not doing those religious activities, walking around, taking a tewel, etc., there's also an obligation to wear a yarmulke. And they bring various reasons why. One, brought down by the Taz, chukas agoyim. Chukas agoyim means somebody who doesn't wear a head covering, a male who doesn't wear a head covering, is not properly distinguishing himself from the non-Jews. The non-Jews go with their heads uncovered. Accordingly, chukas agoyim would require that we indeed wear a head covering, and it would be an iser d'oraisa, a biblical prohibition, to go with one's head uncovered. Yaron.
A lot of people, the Jews, lived among Muslims before. Muslims covered their head.
So there, we wouldn't have the same imperative. The Taz was writing in Europe. So it wasn't Muslim. At the time, those weren't Muslim countries. Now it's a little bit different. So that's the Taz. That's also the Mari Mibrona. Mari Mibrona says, in Chutz La'aretz, we have to cover our heads. In other words, if you live in Eretz Yisrael among Jews, you also have to cover your head, but it's not an Isser D'oraisa Tanakh, because we don't have to distinguish. He says that when you're among the non-Jews who aren't covering their head, that's the one distinguishing factor that we have, wearing our head covering. So that's one rationale why poskim say there's an obligation, and if you don't, you're over an Isser D'oraisa. Another is simply tznius, modesty. Based on a Rambam, and the Malbim explains the Rambam this way, the Rambam equates covering one's head with covering one's body. Various parts of the body have to be covered, so too, al snias, modesty, the head has to be covered. When something is accepted as a form of modesty by Klal Yisrael, that becomes a requirement, and that snias requires covering the head just like the body. So that's number two. And number three is marasayin. Marasayin means if somebody views you, even though you may not be doing something fundamentally wrong, but you give the impression you're doing something wrong, that is indeed a problem. So even though we would say, assuming that it was originally a midas chasidus wearing a yarmulke, but once it's been accepted, somebody goes without that kippah, people view that as, if you take that yarmulke, if you're not wearing it, it's as if you went off the derech, marasayin. You give the appearance you're doing something wrong. So that would obligate also wearing a head covering. There's an article, just to introduce, when it comes to the workplace in particular, because that's what we're talking about today, head coverings in the workplace, on aish.com, The Kippah Debate, by Richard Rabkin. It's a very good article. If you want to look it up, aish.com, you know how to find that. Wearing a yarmulke is no easy decision. It signifies to the world and to its wearer that it sits on top of a committed Jew. So he says that he got frum in yeshiva. He doesn't say what yeshiva he went to. Could very well be Ish. And he never wore a yarmulke beforehand. Only in yeshiva did he wear a yarmulke. He said in Israel, it's very easy to wear a yarmulke because yarmulkes are as common as cellular phones are. So it's not a problem. He had his problem when he got back to Vancouver and people, A, don't wear yarmulkes, not that common, and B, the people who knew him were not accustomed to see him wearing a yarmulke. So he had a tough time with it, and he said generally he didn't wear it, but over time, as the months and years went by, he became more and more comfortable wearing the yarmulke, and he used to wear it more and more, and until he wore it all the time except in the work context. And once he went on an interview for a summer job at a law firm, and he did not wear it to the interview. And he says it actually caused him a big problem because they wanted to take him out to dinner. The first day he got the job, comes to work, wanted to take him out. They didn't know he was any different from anyone else because he wasn't wearing a yarmulke. And they took him out to Treif restaurant. First day at the firm, called the Spotted Prawn. Wasn't Jewish. Wasn't kosher. Not a kosher restaurant. So he said it caused me a lot of problems because they didn't have something to distinguish himself, to give the message to people, I am different. I am an Orthodox Jew. I can't do certain things. I can't go to the Spotted Prawn and eat. I can only have water, whatever it is. So he says that for professional and spiritual reasons, he moved from Vancouver to Toronto. Toronto, both called, Toronto has a much larger Jewish community, very vibrant Jewish community, and it was better for him professionally, so he started interviewing. And the first interview he had was at a prestigious law firm, and he very much wanted to work at that law firm. Very much was going to do. Now he's wearing his yarmulke all the time, and he decided, I'm going to wear it, moving to Toronto, I'm going to wear my yarmulke for work also. That was a decision that he made. And the day of the interview, his first interview, Fermi wanted to go, he's in the elevator, the law firm is on the 45th floor, and he's going up. And in the elevator with him was somebody else who was wearing a yarmulke, older than he was, somebody wearing a yarmulke, and he starts speaking with the person. And the person asks, where are you going? Oh, I have an interview at this law firm. He says, congratulations, it's a great place to work. Congratulations on getting the interview. And they're talking, they have that bond wearing yarmulkes. And, but then this person, as they get up to the 44th floor, the older person says to him, I have to tell you, I should warn you, I've heard they don't really like it if people wear their yarmulkes to work. So Richard says his heart dropped. He's getting out of the 45th floor, and somebody just told him they really don't like wearing of yarmulkes. So you can imagine the panic that he's going through, being told this, he's getting out to the interview. Now this man who said that, wearing the yarmulke, walks out with him, 45th floor. And this person walks into the reception area, and the receptionist turns to him and says, Mr. Rothstein, your 9 o'clock appointment is here for you. And Mr. Rothstein, it turned out, was a partner at the firm, was joking. Caused the guy to have a heart attack, but he was joking. He gives Richard a wink. Wearing yarmulke is okay to wear here. Not a problem. He says, look, on the interview, if you have time afterward, come and visit me in my office. So it turned out that the interview went great. And the author of this article said that he had two major benefits in wearing the yarmulke. Number one was, during the interviews, the attorneys knew he was from, knew he was observant, knew he was Shomer Shabbos, and they said, right off the bat, you should know that there is no problem being a Sabbath observer working at this firm. None at all. He didn't ask, and they were forthcoming about it, because that yarmulke was announcing who he was and certain restrictions that he had. So that was very beneficial. And also, when it came to eating, they would typically take the candidates out for dinner, treif restaurant. They obviously knew he wasn't able to do that. They were familiar with what a yarmulke meant. And they simply had a meeting, a get-together in the firm, probably brought in kosher food or whatever it was, in order to make it more comfortable for him. So he says that the yarmulke was very important for him, very beneficial for him, and it made an announcement not only to him that he's a committed Jew, but also to the other people, and it only worked to his benefit, indeed not to his detriment. I saw a blog, people were talking about wearing yarmulkes at work. It's very interesting, reading the comments. And one of the comments was by someone who said as follows, I was very nervous for 2 years, should I wear my yarmulke, should I not wear my yarmulke at work? So we decided one day to go for it. I'm going to wear the yarmulke. And the comments he got when he wore the yarmulke across the board was, what took you so long? What took you so long? Interesting. What took you so long? Not what is that thing on your head, why you, what took you so long? And to me, the takeaway was, we put in a lot of time worrying, is the yarmulke going to be a detriment to us? And the worries, for the most part, 99% of the time, are misfounded and baseless. We have concern about it, but there is no basis for the concern, because wearing a yarmulke, for the most part, in the workplace is 100% acceptable, and I have found only beneficial. For the most part, I had one negative experience, as I talked about it last time, I think, when I didn't get a second round interview. But other than that, it's been incredibly beneficial, and I'll talk about some of the benefits that I've seen in the workforce towards the end of this year. So we're going to dive right into this. Our question specifically then is not should somebody or shouldn't somebody not wear a yarmulke at work. One should wear a yarmulke at work. The question is, if you know an employer is not going to hire you because of a yarmulke, it's not, oh, I have concern, maybe I'm going to get the job, maybe I won't be able to progress as much. That's not the question. There's an obligation to wear a yarmulke. Specifically, the question that we're relating to is, that boss, that firm, that company will not hire me. It's a known thing. They've told people we can't have yarmulkes. Or the last number of highly appropriate candidates that have gone and interviewed that have worn yarmulkes have not gotten jobs, while people with the same credentials or lesser credentials who have not worn yarmulkes have gotten the job. We need to know factually or have a strong basis of belief that they're not going to hire me if I'm wearing my yarmulke. In that scenario, in those scenarios, do I have a heter to take the yarmulke off? That's our question. Okay, so let's dive into what the poskim have said about this. Most of the poskim that discuss this are pretty recent, because this is more of a common question, working really amongst the goyish work environment at the top of all the careers, at the top of legal, business, investment, banking, politics, lobbying, whatever it is. This is more in certainly the United States. 50, 60, 70 years ago, it was not that common of a question. Jews were not holding these jobs as they are today. Now, we do have one posek that was asked. We have it in the Mekoros, source number 35, page 6, number 35. The Maharam Brisk was asked this question in pre-war Europe. He lived from 1886 to 1944. So he was asked before World War II this question, somebody who wanted to get a job to support his family, but the requirement was you're not allowed to have a head covering on. He was asked, Imut or the Kabo Misra Zo, are you permitted to take on this job? The condition was no yarmulke, no kippah, or can we be lenient? Can you take it or can you not take the job? And he needed the job. So first he says, maybe it's not a problem because it's a midas chasidus, it's not an obligation. But then he says, but look, the Taz, a major commentary in Shulchan Aruch, says that if you don't wear a head covering when you're working among, when you're living amongst the non-Jews, it's an iser de'oraisa of chukas agoyim. You're violating the prohibition to not be similar to the non-Jews. Then the Taz says, going with your head uncovered falls under that negative prohibition, chukas agoyim. And we are not going to be matir, a negative prohibition for purposes of a parnasa, for purposes of a livelihood. For example, if somebody comes and says, in order to take this job, you need to work on Shabbos also, there's no heter for such a thing, to work on Shabbos for money. There's no heter for something like that. To violate an Isser D'oraisa, there's no heter. So the Maharam Brisk says that indeed, we cannot permit somebody to take a job if the condition is going with one's head uncovered, because the Taz says it's an Isser D'oraisa to do so. And we see specifically that the boss, the non-Jewish boss, is requiring that. We see that they are makbid about their chok to not wear a head covering. So the Maharam Brisk, because of that, says it would be an Isser D'oraisa, and it would not be permitted for purposes of a parnasa. The Ber Moshe, the Deborah Tzimmer Rav, was asked the same question in the United States, very likely in the United States, his question. And there, in the person posing the question says, I need the job. Most people need the job. I need the job. I don't have other good options. The condition is the yarmulke needs to come off. So the Ber Moshe says, I can't be matirit. But he brings a second rationale. Etzlenu nishar chomer ha'inyan shelo yelech begilo erosh. It's a very stringent thing to not have the head covered. Source number 37. Ukefi sheroim shekol haholech begilu yirosh. And we know anyone who goes with the head uncovered, whether in the shuk, out in the marketplace, in at home, ibed cheskas kashrutso etzel koroam, has lost his chazaka of being somebody who's kosher. What does that mean? Somebody sees you, you're walking around without the yarmulke. What are people going to think? What are they going to think? They're going to think you're not from. They're going to think that you're not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. So anyone who goes without that yarmulke, even in the workforce, the Ber Moshe says, they're going to think it's kind of a Maris Ayin issue. They're going to think you're no longer from. So he says, I can't be matirit. So that's rationale number two. Rationale number one was the Taz, it's an Isser D'oraisa, so we can't be matir for purposes of parnasa. Rationale number two, the Ber Moshe, it's a quasi Maris Ayin problem. People are going to see you without the yarmulke, they're going to think that you're no longer from. And the next svara, third svara, brought down now again by the Be'er Moshe, is very interesting. He says there's no way I can permit it. I can no way permit somebody going to work without the yarmulke, because you're going to sit every single day, day after day, week after week, month after month, without your head covering. And what's the result of that going to be? You have nothing to distinguish yourself from the non-Jews that you're working with. Nothing. And what's going to happen? Even against your initial decision, I'm going to stay from, I'm going to keep all of halacha. But without that yarmulke, it's very easy to get sucked into the camaraderie of work. Very easy to get sucked into the social events at work, and to just go down a path of going out, getting more involved in the social aspects of work, and unfortunately violating halacha, various halachas, simply because you didn't have something to distinguish yourself with the yarmulke. Now somebody who's a second year in Harvard Business School was in Israel a couple months ago, and he came and we were schmoozing, and we were talking about this issue, other issues dealing with the workplace, and he wears a yarmulke on campus. But he said that somebody in the prior year did not wear a yarmulke, from guy at university, in business school. We're not even talking about work. And he said, it's going to negatively impact me, my ability to network. I'm not going to be able to have the same network, and that's a lot of the reason why you pay $100,000 to get your MBA at Harvard, is for the network, for the networking prospects that are created by being with those type of people in business school. So this person who didn't wear a yarmulke said he regretted it. I regretted not wearing a yarmulke. Why? Because when you're in that environment, both in university and in the workforce, you have two choices. Choice number one is to not join the social activities that are relatively important, depending on the workplace, depending on the university. Networking, going out is important, so you have a choice. Either not do it or do it. One or the other. And if you don't do it, they think that you're an oddball. And if you do it, if you're from, you have a real problem going out and drinking and going to these other activities that are highly inappropriate or prohibited. So he said, had I worn a yarmulke and not participated, they would have understood why I wasn't participating. I'm a normal guy, but I'm observant and I have restrictions. But the fact that I didn't wear a yarmulke made them think that I'm like them, but I'm antisocial and I don't want to participate. They thought that there was something wrong with me because of it. He said, had I worn the yarmulke, it would have solved a lot of issues for me, which is very interesting. And effectively, the Be'er Moshe is saying something similar. He's saying, if you're not wearing that yarmulke, it's very easy to get sucked in because you have nothing making that announcement that I am indeed different from the rest of the people that I am working with. So the Be'er Moshe said he's not going to permit it. In the end of the day, he has a P.S., postscript in the tshuva. He says, after he paskin to this person writing to him, I need the job, but the condition is not wearing a yarmulke. The Be'er Moshe says, you can't take the job. The person called him right afterward and thanked him and said, I did not take the job, but almost immediately thereafter, I got a much better offer, a much more lucrative offer, which I accepted, that I was permitted to wear the yarmulke. So that's how the Be'er Moshe indeed ends his tshuva. So that's the side of saying that one indeed would not be permitted to wear a yarmulke. And we brought three rationales. Chukas Agoyim, number one. Number two is a Mara Sayin concept. Can't wear it. You're giving off the appearance that you're doing something wrong by not having the yarmulke. And number three, because you have nothing to distinguish you, so it's very easy to get sucked into the norms of the secular workplace. Those are three rationales brought down by the poskim. On the other hand, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the same question. Rav Moshe was asked this. He was the Gadol Ador in the United States, in the world. He lived in New York, so he was asked a number of very relevant questions. One of them was this question. He was actually asked numerous times, I'm sure, this question, but he published three tshuvas on it. Three different times that he was asked this question. And we'll go through the core concept that he brings out, and then we'll also bring pieces a little bit later of the other tshuvas, of those three tshuvas. So Rav Moshe lived in New York. He passed away in 1986. So he says as follows, if wearing a yarmulke or the absence of a yarmulke, going with your head uncovered, is an Isser D'oraisa like the Taz, There is no way to permit somebody to take off the yarmulke for purposes of earning a livelihood. If it's an Isser D'oraisa, like Chilul Shabbos, we're not going to permit it. However, same thing would be an Isser D'Rabbanan. If it's a prohibition to go with one's head uncovered, we're not going to permit it. However, what if it's a mitzvah's aseh, a positive commandment, or a minhag that is taking on a lot of significance? A minhag that everyone has accepted becomes the halacha, but still not an Isser D'Oraisa. It's still not an Isser D'Rabbanan. So he says the classification of the obligation to wear a yarmulke matters. Because if it's an Isser D'Oraisa, we're not going to permit it. If it's a mitzvah's aseh, positive commandment, or a strong minhag, we can permit somebody to not do it if it means a large financial loss. For example, there's a concept when it comes to tzedakah. We had a shiur on tzedakah many, many months ago. Yisrael, you were there. Many months ago. And we said that Chazal instituted you're not allowed to exceed giving away 20% of your income to charity. Giving charity, positive commandment. Don't give away, according to some poskim. Giving away charity is a d'oraisa according to all poskim, but giving away 10%, some poskim say it's d'oraisa, some say it's d'rabbanan, some say it's a minhag. But Chazal came and put a cap on it. 20% is the absolute cap, Chazal said. Can't give more than 20%. Similar thing if you have an esrog, it costs a fortune. Esrog, $200, I have only $100 in my bank. Or I only have $300 in my bank. Do I have to buy that esrog to do a mitzvah saseh for Sukkos? No one else has one that I can borrow. Do you have to do it or not? So the answer is no. You only, for a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment, you only have to spend up to 20% of your income for that. So losing a job... You're saying, is it assets or income?
Yeah.
It's a good question. It would be, it depends. For purposes of tzedakah, we give 20% of our income. But assets, up to 20% of my assets, I would have to spend. So when it comes to a job, most people need a job that's basically 100% of their income. That's what, need a job, going to be on salary. If you don't have savings, it's a large financial loss. So Rav Moshe says, if we paskin like the Taz, who says it's an Isser D'Oraisa to go with one's head uncovered, we can't permit it. But the basis of the Taz is saying that taking off one's head covering is an Isser D'Oraisa, says Rav Moshe, in the United States. What's the motivation for people going with their heads uncovered? Is it based on any pagan ritual? Or is it simply that people don't want to have their heads covered? Because it's more enjoyable, it's more comfortable. He says in the United States, unlike what the Taz was saying, that they had a ritual, a pagan ritual, a Avodah Zarah to take the head coverings off. We don't have that in the United States. In the United States, people are simply not covering their head because they don't want to. And what's the proof? It's not only the from non-Jews, the observant Christians who don't do this, but even the non-observant also don't wear yarmulkes. They also don't cover their heads. So it can't be, as Rav Moshe said, that they're motivated by something that is pagan. It's simply that that's more enjoyable, more comfortable for them. So as that, you want to say in church it's different. In church...
You're required to take off the head.
In church. So in that context, Rav Moshe has a different tshuva about this. And Rav Moshe says, what happens if you davened and afterward you realize that your yarmulke fell off? That could happen. Didn't have a yarmulke on, didn't realize. It fell off in the middle. Somebody had a talis on. Talis fell off, didn't realize the yarmulke went off with it. So Rav Moshe says, because the non-Jews in church are makpid to have their heads uncovered, it would be an abomination for a Jew to daven with his head uncovered. So Rav Moshe says you have to repeat the davening. It's a toy of it. It's abomination. It's an abomination to daven with. So in that context, Rav Moshe is machmir. But in other contexts, Rav Moshe says because that's not their motivation, we don't have in the United States and other similar countries, the motivation matters. We don't have an Isser D'Oraisa that goes with our heads uncovered. We still have the important mitzvah, the strong minhag to cover, but it's not an Isser D'Oraisa for purposes of a parnasa. Rav Moshe says we can be lenient. Everyone with me? So the classification of why we're obligated to wear the yarmulke matters. Rav Moshe says the Taz is right, but it doesn't apply in the United States. It's not a chukas l'goyim in the United States because the motivation is not something that is pagan. Okay, so that is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if you can't get the job otherwise, and they're the person who was, he has three tshuvas, but at the person had evidence, he had knowledge, and one of the tshuvas, the person was warned, You're not going to get the job. The person who got them the interview says it's going to negatively impact me if you wear the yarmulke. You're not going to get the job. The person knew, Rav Moshe said, in that context to be permitted. There's a tshuva, the Netta Sorek, that was asked. Somebody wanted to work in a secular court. Maybe it was some training he had to make. Maybe it was a court reporter or something like that. The requirement was, to go in a secular court, you have to have the head covering off. So the person was asking, can I train to have this job and take this job, but the condition is I can't wear the yarmulke. So the Netza Sarek said something pretty interesting. He says, this whole concept that it's an Isser Dorais of Chukas HaGoyim, going in the non-Jewish ways, to go with your head uncovered, that applies only when you're doing a mitzvah, when you're doing something of ritual, when you're davening, for example, when you're taking your lulav and esrog. When you're doing a mitzvah, and you do it with your head uncovered, that is the Isser Dorais. But if you're doing something volitional, you go to Disneyland, you're working, that's not ritual. Although working, supporting a family is a mitzvah, but that's not ritual. The Netta Sarek says there's no Isser Doraisa. And because of that, he paskins when there's a need for purposes of employment and work and a parnasa, we can indeed be lenient. So again, it's similar to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is giving a different reason why Chukas HaGoyim doesn't apply, because the motivation of the non-Jews is not pagan. The Netta Sarek says Chukas HaGoyim doesn't apply because it only applies when you're doing something of ritual and working is not of ritual, but they come out to the same place, that there's no Isser Dorais, and if there's no Isser Dorais involved, then for purposes of a parnas, a large financial need, we would permit taking off the yarmulke. There's another tshuva, the Yerushat Pleita, that brings this Netta Sorek. He says, if in need, you can rely on this. And he says, anyone who wants to be machmir on this, be machmir for yourself, but don't be machmir for other people on this. People need jobs. It's not easy to get a job. It's not easy to make a parnasa. So if we have a place to be lenient on something like this, he says, one indeed can be lenient. We also said that one of the problems with going with one's head uncovered was marasayin. Marasayin, that you give off the appearance that you're doing something wrong. I think we could easily explain also in the work context, indeed, people understand that you need to take the yarmulke off. It's not simply that you want to take the yarmulke off because you're not frum anymore, but in the work context, you're wearing a suit, you're at work, you put it on when you leave. I think people would understand that it's for the work purposes and not simply that you don't want to wear the yarmulke. Now, I will say an important point, that looking at Rav Moshe's tshuvas, I mentioned he had three tshuvas on this, he put some limitations on his head. Rav Moshe said, if you're not going to get the job otherwise, you can take the yarmulke. Limitation number one is that Rav Moshe says that's only for a large financial loss, not a small financial loss. In other words, if you have a lot of money saved up in the bank, or you're a consultant and you lose one gig, you lose one consulting job but you have others, so it's not a large financial loss, Rav Moshe would not permit it. It's only, or if you have other job options, we would say. So it's not, not getting this job is not a large loss to me, I can take another job. Rav Moshe indeed would not permit it. So it's only a large financial loss, that's number one. Number two, Rav Moshe says very specifically, it's only at work, only in the office. But when you leave the office, when you leave the room you're working in, and certainly when you leave the building that you work in, Rav Moshe says the head has to immediately be covered. Even if people are going to make fun of you, saying, "Ah, it's only at work, it's when you leave," but you're not going to lose the job anymore because you're out of the office, Rav Moshe requires the head covering. When I started working, my first week of work, it's 1996. I was working at a very white shoe law firm, very non-Jewish law firm, and I was the first yarmulke there. There were frum people there, but I was the first yarmulke there, and I'm walking around orientation. They're showing us where this is, and the conference rooms are, and the fax machines are, and they're showing us all around, and I see somebody who is obviously frum. He was in his 50s. He had a beautiful beard. Real yeshiva guy. I was shocked because he was carrying a black hat in his hand but didn't have a yarmulke on. Never saw such a thing. It was the weirdest thing. I never saw such a thing. So I asked somebody else who was with me who wasn't wearing a yarmulke. I said, I didn't know that this firm have clients like that. I couldn't imagine he was an attorney working at the law firm. He says, no. He works here. I said, he works here? I couldn't believe somebody who looked like that. He looked like a Rosh Yeshiva, but with a nicely trimmed beard, a neat beard. So he says that he's actually a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was in Kollel for about 10, 12 years, and had, I think it was 7, 8 kids at the time, and he couldn't support them anymore. So he went straight from Kollel, took the LSAT, and went to Columbia Law School. And then he got a great job here, but at the time that they were hiring, he was not permitted to wear a yarmulke. He must have started working there 15, 20 years before me. So at the time, he was not permitted to wear a yarmulke, but immediately, this is Rav Moshe's point, as soon as he left the office, his hat went on. So when I saw him the first time, he was on the way out to Mincha, his hat, and I used to go with him afterward. We used to walk with the hat, Borsellino, real black hat, I'm not talking a baseball hat, no yarmulke. Soon as he got out, the hat went on. So that's Rav Moshe's second point. Point number one was only for a large financial loss can we permit it. Number two was the permit to uncover the head is only at work. As soon as you leave, the head has to be covered. That's number two. And number three, Rav Moshe says that if you are able to, you should indeed wear a hat. Wear a hat. Not necessarily Borsellino, but it can be any type of hat. But some, if they're makbid, it depends. If they're makbid about not wearing a yarmulke per se, but they're not going to care about a hat, wear a hat. If they don't want any head coverings, then you have nothing to do. But if you have an option to wear a hat, something other than a yarmulke, Rav Moshe indeed requires that. So we have three important provisos and Rav Moshe's permitting the head to be uncovered. Number one is only for large financial loss. Number two, only at the workplace. Number three, if you're able to wear some sort of hat, indeed you should. That would be pretty atypical. In the places that I've worked on, you look very strange. You look pretty normal with the yarmulke, but wearing a hat would look very strange. Okay, next. There are some achronim that discuss another option. How about a toupee? What's a toupee? Toupee is a man's wig.
Toupee.
Toupee. So it's very uncommon nowadays for men to wear wigs. It goes style in and out, but it's not very common now. But there are a few I remember growing up and seeing some men who were bald that they'd have a toupee instead. So the poskim discussed the Torah Yekutiel talks about somebody who was going to work in a bank, a non-Jewish bank, and he had to sit with his head uncovered. Is he permitted to take the job or not? And he says he can't take the job. It's a real problem. However, maybe if you have no choice, a pshar, a good compromise, would be wearing a toupee. And he said maybe that would take care of the Marasayan problem. How would it take care of Marasayan? If people can't tell it's a toupee, then you still have the Marasayan. But he says maybe it takes care of it because it's a Darabanan covering the head, and if you don't have a Marasayan and the Darabanan, he has a whole Megillah explaining why it wouldn't be a Marasayan, and etc. So he says if you can't wear something, better would be to wear a toupee than nothing. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. Does a toupee help? Does a toupee not help? A toupee indeed, and this is our next issue, the toupee does not help certainly for purposes of saying brachas. It doesn't help for that. So now we're going to talk about somebody. The poskim say it doesn't help. It's a cover, but you still have marasayin. You may still have chukas agoyim. So it doesn't help. It's not the type of cover that many Achronim say. The ones that I saw said it doesn't help for brachas, doesn't help for davening. So
you're also wearing it for cosmetic purposes more than you're wearing it for
have to imbue yourself with Yerushamayim, etc. But they say it doesn't work for brachas. So the Shulchan Aruch, what's your option then? If you do have a heter, in the unusual circumstance nowadays that you have a heter, that there's a place that won't hire you, it's your only option, you need that job, the very unusual circumstance, but let's say that happened. You have a heter. We said that you need a head covering. There's no heter to say a bracha. If you're going to drink something, shako, brei nefashos. You come out of the bathroom and say asher yatzar, that's a longer bracha. You need a head covering. What are you going to do? So Aaron says, put your jacket over your head. So that's an option. So the Shulchan Aruch says, how about putting your hand on your head? Is that sufficient? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins and the Ramah paskin, both paskin, that putting your own hand on your head does not work for purposes of a head covering, for purposes of saying brachas. It doesn't work. Why not? Because the hand and the head are the same entity. It's the same body. However, if you want somebody else to put their hand on your head, then it looks ridiculous. It must looks a lot more ridiculous than having a yarmulke on. But if somebody else, Avi, put your hand on my head. Ilan, put your hand on my head. I need to say a bracha. Can't use my own hand, but I can use their hand. So that's an option. Certainly an option. Vim acher, this is the Shulchan Aruch says, Vim acher meiniach yado al rosho. So if somebody else put his hand on your head, mashma dechashiva kisa, that would be sufficient for purposes of saying a bracha. Now the Bach, major commentary on the Torah, says, what's a good option? What's something to do? No hagim, people would indeed use their sleeves. Easier than putting your jacket. You put your sleeve on your head, just like this. You need long sleeves for this. You can't have short sleeves. And there you go. That is sufficient as a head covering to say brachas. Now, I worked when I was at the law firm and other places. I had friends, indeed, that didn't wear yarmulkes, and they would use their sleeves to say brachas. Now, I will tell you, it looks ridiculous. Because when you come out of the bathroom and you're saying Asher Yatzar, and you're panicking that people may be looking at you because you look really silly. I don't look silly here, right? And inevitably, your bracha is probably a bracha levatala because it is impossible. Maybe a shahakal you can say with kavana, but to say an asher yatzar, an extended bracha, with your sleeve on your head, concerned about people seeing you, it's not such a very good solution. So there is not really not, other than going into your office, if you have an office.
That's how I have one, with a glove.
With the glove, you can, but you still look silly standing there, and you can't talk to anyone, but that's regardless if you have yarmulke. But you're sitting there with your glove on your head with your hand up. It just looks silly. It really does. You can hit yourself with the glove on. So there's not, other than going into your office, if you have an office, shut the door, put on a yarmulke, and say a nice bracha. But there's really not a good solution to this. For sure, there's just not a good solution. So even if there would be a heter, and there are in unusual circumstances to not wear the yarmulke, but practically speaking, it causes a lot of difficulties. Not being distinguished from other people and not being able to say bracha is a very, very difficult thing. In the end of the day, the Orach HaShulchan, Orach HaShulchan was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, and he talks about this also, working without one's head covering. He says, "Ubamakom ahechrech," in a place, in a circumstance of real need. And his example is working in a court, a secular court, that the dina de machusa dina, that the law of the land is you have to go with your head uncovered. Ein leilech b'kisay rashamuter, that you're not allowed to go with your head uncovered. It would be permitted to take it off. You don't have an option. Ach shelo b'makom ahechrech, but in a place that you don't have an absolute need. Somebody who really wants to be zocher to have yiras shemaim, fear of heaven, yishmor es atzmo mizeh, should be really careful to have a head covering on. So the Orach HaShulchan is passing also, if there's an absolute need, I can understand it, but unless there's an absolute need for it, you really need to indeed have the yarmulke on. The Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss was asked this question, and he answered, he says, all of it depends on circumstances. He says the default, obviously, is you have to wear a head covering. But if the circumstance is such that you live in a place or it's a time that it's absolutely necessary, there are heterim. But according to the Mekilim, remember we started out with the poskim that said absolutely not, even if you're not going to get your job, even if it's your only option, you can't take it off. But according to the Mekilim, it really depends on the circumstances. My brother was lecturing just a couple weeks ago in the Massachusetts area on something dealing with Israel and startups, and somebody came up to him, a Baal Tshuva, who was having a difficult time at work. His boss requested that when they meet clients, he not wear his head covering, not wear his yarmulke, and that he not make a fuss about taking meetings in treif restaurants. Not that he has to eat, but to not make a fuss over it. And he asked my brother what to do. And Lamaisa, this isn't as difficult a situation as sitting all the time, all day, every week, every month, like the Bar Moshe was concerned, without a yarmulke. These are limited times, only when meeting clients. It probably happens not every day and for a short amount of time, and you don't have to say brachos at that time. So this indeed would likely fit into the situation, at least according to the Mekilim. Dor HaShocha, in a time absolute of need, Rav Moshe would say it's a time of need, that the boss is requiring it just at those limited times. It's less of a difficult question than sitting all the time without a yarmulke. So the Minchas Yitzchak is saying it depends on the circumstances. When I started working, just to talk about some of the things that I've seen, when I started working, I was working between my second and third years of law school at a law firm in Century City, Los Angeles. It was in the tower. Anyone here see Die Hard, the movie? Mm-hmm. The Nakatomi Tower?
Yeah, that's it.
So they really, when they blew it up, it really didn't get blown up. It really was there. So I was working in that building, very fancy, posh building, a lot of Lamborghinis and Ferraris parked in front. So that was the law firm. I was the only yarmulke in the place. And there were other summer associates from very good law firms also that were working there. And it was interesting that I was invited out for lunch 4 to 5 times every single week by people I didn't even know. They saw me walking by, they saw a yarmulke, and they'd be coming over saying, oh, I'd love to take you out, I'd love to taste the new... They heard there was a kosher Chinese restaurant or kosher this type of restaurant. And they were coming up and inviting me out, people I didn't even know. And the other summer associates weren't being invited out at all. To the effect that one of them approached me and said, would you mind taking us out on your lunches with you because we're not being invited out? And to me, that was an unbelievable, resounding endorsement of wearing a yarmulke, because these weren't people that knew me that were invited. They saw the yarmulke. That was this distinguishing factor, and only acted... No, some Jewish, some not Jewish, but not from... There was only one firm person at the firm. So I had a huge benefit from wearing yarmulke, and indeed that continued. When I worked in New York at the really not Jewish firm, I was the first yarmulke there. This was in starting in 95, 96, and didn't have any problems whatsoever. And I was told more recently that now there are 30 to 40 people wearing yarmulkes there. Tzitzis out, pay us, and they have kosher food at firm events now. So you have to wear a yarmulke, make a Kiddush Hashem, and hopefully you can pave a way for other people indeed to do the same. We started out the topic by talking about Simcha Goldman. Simcha Goldman, to remind you, was the frum Jew who was accustomed from birth to wearing a yarmulke. And when he was in the Air Force, the commander of the hospital in March Air Force Base where he was working came and told him after 3 years of his working on the job that he had to take the yarmulke off. Somebody had registered a complaint that Simcha Goldman was out of uniform, and the commander at the hospital said it's got to come off. Simcha Goldman explained that he needs to wear it for religious purposes, and the commander refused, it's got to come off, and it went into a lawsuit mode. And we saw that, as we discussed last time, the federal court at the district level, at the bottom level, federal court, but at their three rungs, held in favor of Simcha Goldman that the Air Force could not force him to take the yarmulke off, but they only issued a temporary injunction, not a permanent injunction, an injunction forcing the Air Force to stay away from him, ensuring that the Air Force could not force Simcha Goldman to take his yarmulke off, couldn't issue a permanent injunction because there was a material fact that was undecided by the court, that was undecided at the time, and that material fact was, is it indeed an obligation to wear a yarmulke or not? So the district court, in fact, found in his favor, at least on a temporary basis. The Air Force appealed, and at the appeals court, the D.C. appeals court, they've held in favor of the Air Force, that the Air Force could indeed require Simcha Goldman to take his yarmulke off. And Simcha Goldman then appealed again, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court, all the way up to the Supreme Court. So this was decided in March of 86, and the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, 5-4 is as close as you can get, there are 9 Supreme Court justices, 5 justices found in favor of the Air Force. And 4 in favor of Simcha Goldman. And of those 4, there were 3 dissenting opinions written. Meaning even there's an opinion, the people who disagree can write an explanation as to why they disagree. So they wrote three dissents, meaning each one had different reasons and different sfaras why they disagreed with the decision of the court. And the court itself, in the main decision, the five that held against him for Goldman, saying the Air Force could force him to take his yarmulke, said the Air Force has drawn the line essentially between religious apparel that is visible and that which is not. And it was reasonable for the Air Force to require people to stay in dress code, in uniform, and this fell on the side of being visible and out of the required dress code. Now, in the dissent by Justice Brennan and Justice Marshall said as follows: Simcha Goldman invokes this court's protection of his First Amendment right to fulfill one of the traditional religious obligations of a male Orthodox Jew to cover his head before an omnipresent God. And the court here is abdicating its role. It's failing at protecting the individual and his right to exercise freedom of religion. And they continue, had Goldman wanted to wear a head covering because he wanted to keep himself warm or cover a bald spot, we would agree with him. But the First Amendment restrains the government's ability to prevent an Orthodox Jewish serviceman from or punish him for wearing a yarmulke. So we dissent. We disagree with the decision. Now, despite that, we saw that five sided in favor of the Air Force. The next year, Congress came and legislated a law that effectively permitted servicemen in the Army, Air Force, etc., to wear yarmulkes. So despite the fact that the Air Force won by the Supreme Court, Congress legislated indeed permitting yarmulkes. So
why then they were the deal for that? Why people don't argue that the Congress law is
unconstitutional? Yeah. Because it was tailored in a way that it said people can wear, there's religious freedom, but they can wear things that are unobtrusive. Meaning they tailored it in a way to say that the Air Force has an important right to decide on dress code, but they broaden the ability of people to wear smaller things that didn't negatively impact their job or their appearance. And the yarmulke fell in with the requirements that they were permitted to wear. Okay, so just to recap, this is indeed a critical issue in the workplace. As we've said, I think very honestly that we have more concerns than are valid. For the most part, it's only beneficial to wear a yarmulke to be distinguished. I've had, for the most part, 99% of the time, only benefits from that. But if somebody indeed is in a situation that the job is going to be lost because of the yarmulke, indeed ask a question, because we saw some poskim are indeed machmir, no matter what, get another job. But we did also see that some poskim, including Rav Moshe, are lenient, that one can take the job while at the office if there are no other options. Okay, guys, have a great week.